Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on PGN Tuesday evening. This is Deborah with you tonight. It is a happy new year to all. And January 4th, 2022. So happy new year, everyone. I hope that you're doing great so far out of the gate. into the new year, and that your hearts are blessed, the presence of the Lord, the wisdom of his provision and his protection for you and your family during this season and into the new year. So blessings to you. We'll speak the blessing of the Lord and tree of life to you this evening. Okay, we did have a run-in with COVID on Christmas Day. So a lot of us had to be tested, and mine came back negative, praise the Lord. So mine was either just a cold combination allergies, but anyway, we still have family members that are like falling like flies with COVID. So if you could just pray for them, that'd be wonderful. But everyone's, praise God, at home recovering, and all their attempts are being successful thus far with recovery and whatnot. So pray that God's protection on them as well, and health and healing in Jesus' name. Well, let's pray. Let's get started. And we thank you, Father, for this evening, Lord. We just lift it up. I dedicate this time to you, God. In Jesus' name, I dedicate myself to you, God, as your vessel and as your servant, Lord. We thank you, God, that we bring this place into this house of prayer, into this house of praise, and into this house of the prophetic nature of Jesus, Lord. Let Jesus be lifted up. Thank you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your glory and your presence, Lord. We thank you for the faith of your people, Lord, that you would unlock things and unveil things in the faith of your people. And we thank you for what you have brought to us thus far and in the days ahead, Lord. We thank you for your covering and abiding in you, God, that your engrafted word in us would be emboldened and spoken, God, that we would be the light of the world. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, again, thank you everyone for joining us, and we will get to ministry time shortly. And thank you again for those who are listening online. We welcome you, and we praise God for you. So thank you, PGN family and friends. So just after Christmas, before the new year, I usually take down my Christmas tree because I have a birthday in there, and I like to actually have Christmas to be finished, so it feels a little different, you know, like a little separation there because it's so close. So while I was doing this, I was just like talking to the Lord, you know, and having a peaceful day, and, you know, just reminiscing of some memories and also places where he's stretched me and challenged me as well through the season, and continuing to, you know, and not in a bad way, but in a good way, and so that I carry more of his thinking and perspective, aligning my heart and mind with his. So anyways, when I was doing that, the Lord spoke to me something. I was actually not even in front of my Bible. There's two things that happened. Well, two things I'm going to talk about tonight that I just felt a release on from the Lord to bring forth. And let me just say this. When the Lord begins to overlap things with people, like it's like, oh, yeah, that's the same word. My microphone. You know, look, it's not necessarily the same word, but God expounds on this truth, and he overlaps it and unveils things in his word in a different way than he had before. And it's because he is bringing forth, he's revealing a truth, right? So the truth keeps getting revealed in his word, and he keeps unveiling it. He keeps unveiling this truth that he's speaking to us, and he's bringing it forth in his word. And this is what we see happening, even with you all. you know, calling in and saying the Lord spoke to you this, you know, many years ago or this or that or whatever. And actually very significant things, actually, now that I think about it. And it's because the Lord confirms his word. So this should not be surprising to us that every word is confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? So this is a divine place, holy nature of his spirit and his word. So let me start here. In Psalm, he reminded me of what he spoke to me, and let me come back to this. So what he spoke to me literally in the words while I was putting away the ornaments off of the Christmas tree. I was just talking to him about Christmas, yada, yada. And he spoke to me and said, the house of Reuben. And I had never heard of that. I said, well, I've never really heard of the house of Reuben. I've heard of the house of the Lord. And let's come to the house of the Lord, right? We bring joy. We bring our sacrifice. Okay, the house of the Lord. I've heard the house of the Lord. I've heard of the tribe. I've heard of, okay, right? I've never heard of it before as the house of Reuben. So I thought, I made note of that to write that down and to look that up later. While I was searching this and reading my Bible at the time, on something else, which I'll say for another night, that the Lord was showing me and unpacking, he reminded me of the number 87. So when my mother-in-law moved in, she was 87 years old, and the Lord spoke to me and said, she's not going to make it to her next birthday. Okay, so I didn't know when and how long that would be. Okay, so let's see, her birthday was in July. She moved in the end of July. So, you know, I was just seeking him and whatnot, and he just said 87, like that was, she would not be having her next birthday. That's all he spoke to me, and that's all I knew. And even we went out one night to get her a hamburger, and you know how they give you those numbers for your order? Well, the number they gave us for her was 87, and I actually have a picture of that because I wanted to make sure I took a picture of it, and I didn't really say much to anyone about this. You know, initially when I heard it, I was just holding on to it. I know what the Lord spoke. And then I begin to see this number 87 repeatedly, okay? And even, you know, when you get cards and you get memberships and you renew or your driver's license or whatever, so I'm seeing the number 87 repeated even in like one membership card that's coming in my direction, okay? 87, 87 doubled on my card, okay? And so when I was reading, the Lord, I don't even know why I didn't think about it earlier. I guess my focus was on my mother-in-law, but the Lord brought me to Psalms 87. And so I want to read this because these actually cross over from Psalm 87. And not that it's, but some, okay, let me just read it first. Okay. There's only seven verses here. But here it says, his foundation is in the holy mountain. Okay, this is New King James Version I'll be reading from. The Lord loves the gates of Zion, which I thought this was interesting. And last night I listened just, I missed a lot of the teaching up front, unfortunately, but I did hear some conversation with the first caller and some reference to the word gate when it was related to Daystar, okay? Not my word that brought forth, but I just, when I heard that, I said, that's interesting. I know that that is in Psalm 87, okay? So the Lord loves the gates of Zion. Now, Zion is representative to the new covenant blessing made possible by the high priest and the work of Christ on the cross, okay? Okay, so that's why he would love the gates. The entry place of Zion is because of Christ's sacrifice, because of his blood, because of what? His body. More than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Now, this Jacob is going to be important to where he spoke to me and said the house of Reuben, because Jacob Reuben was Jacob's firstborn son, okay? Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, I'm not sure if I'm saying these names right, but Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born here. Okay, so Rahab sometimes in scripture, not always, but sometimes in scripture can be another name for Egypt, okay, which was Israel's enemy. Okay, so verse 5. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. Okay, so it's giving the female thing for city, but also church it's referring to. And the Most High himself shall establish her, which definitely is the church. The Most High himself shall establish her. And Zion, he's talking about the invisible church, okay? We have the invisible church and the visible church. The Lord will record, verse 6, the Lord will record when he registers the peoples, the ones who are born there, Selah, okay? That's when he puts our name in the Lamb Book of Life for those who are being established in his church. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so let me make sure I covered everything here. So the church, yes, is the firstborn registered in heaven. That's what it's referring to in that verse. And then in verse 7, where it's just talking about that, all that truly quenches one's spiritual thirst is from God. And the Lord, let me find you guys where you are. Okay, here you are. The Lord put a song on my heart that is actually on the radio. It's actually by Phil Wickham, and it's, let's see, what's the title? Let me make sure I get it right. It's actually called House of the Lord, and he's talking and singing about joy. There will be joy in the house of the Lord. And I started listening to this again and looking at the words to it. And then I wanted to see, hey, when did he write this song? And it was actually written in 2021. And the album, it comes from the album called Hymn of Heaven, which I thought is so interesting. And I really think this song is prophetically written. Like the Lord has been speaking to us in and through different things, even in song, to deliver us unto the joy in the house of the Lord, that this restoration is coming. And I never seen this before until he just started unpacking this and unveiling it. And again, it's because it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're following him. So praise God. And I'm not even all familiar with Phil Wickham. I don't even know a lot about him, okay? I just happen to know that particular song. And so, okay. So let me talk about the house of Reuben before I talk about it. There is a corresponding verse. We're talking about the firstborn church in Hebrews. Some of you may know that. But I'm gonna end with that before I open for ministry, okay? And I am going to talk about the house of Reuben. So here's what I learned about this, and I do think there's some parallels and some correlation here. Okay, thank you. And, okay, got it. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, that Reuben was the firstborn of 12 sons from Jacob, okay? And because he was the firstborn, this is very natural that he would have the first sign of his strength, and he did, okay? However, Jacob prophesied over Reuben before he passed, okay? And he actually spoke a sad prophecy over him. Some things were true, you know, again, it's paradoxical. Some things were true and some things were sad. And so it says, Reuben, this is what Jacob prophesied. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, turbulent as waters. You will no longer excel, for you went up unto your father's bed and defiled it. Okay, this is, you can find that in Genesis 4, 3 and 4. In addition to referring to the future of the tribe of Reuben, of course, naturally, any prophecy we can, you know, grasp lessons from it as well. Okay, so when he said that Jacob declared that Reuben will no longer excel, that is in verse 4. Okay, what's today? 4. Due to a sin of incest is what happened, okay, with his concubine's wife. So in Genesis 49:3-4 and Genesis 35:22, although the sin was committed years prior, okay, it left on his character and that he couldn't bring forth the inheritance of a generation, no longer would he lead out on that, okay? Because he should have been and ought to have been an example of a blessing to fortify the generations because of his birthright. However, it did not, okay? Now, his father did not disown him, and he did not disinherit him of the privileges of a son, however, not of a firstborn son. This is literally what it says here. So Jacob's sad prophecy of Reuben certainly came true. Now listen, no judge, prophet, ruler, or prince came from that tribe, nor any renowned except, I don't know who this is, Dathan and Abiram, something who noted for the, but they're only noted for their rebellion against Moses. This is important too. So although Reuben was the firstborn, the kingdom was given, so Reuben's kingdom was given to, this is important, Judah and the priest of Levi, leaving Reuben's tribe to be small and non-influential. So because unstable in waters or turbulent waters had to do with the virtues, he was unstable, but he didn't have control of himself or his own appetites. So, and they're talking about things in his flesh. So he was charged as unstable and could refer to his being sometimes very regular and orderly, while other times wild and undisciplined. Okay, so he didn't control the appetites of his flesh in various manners and various degrees and what that looked like, okay? And so, okay, while he might have had remorse, he also ended up having a loss. He lost a lot. Okay, so the tribe of Judah, his kingdom went over to the tribe of Judah and to the priesthood of Levi. And I know we've been talking, I know I've been mentioning about the priesthood being restored and the book of Hebrews, and I'll probably be in and through there weaving things in here and there throughout the year. No, I don't know how long, but I'm sure not. Okay, so that's what he spoke to me to show me. So I've seen some parallels and things that have been spoken here, things that are happening, and literally some things that were eye-opening to me that I did not realize, that his whole kingdom was given over and things were reduced for him, okay, because of literally a sin. But this prophetic word came from the heart of his father, came from his father. Okay, so there's that. Now, we, going back to Psalm 87:6, where we're registered as firstborn, registered in heaven. Okay, this, it comes from Hebrews. This is my last verse here. Hold on 1 second, please. Okay, got it. This is my last verse, Hebrews 12. And now that gets reference to verse 23, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. So a lot of times, you know, we see, right, what heaven and earth is, I know I mentioned this before, where, and even in September I can remember because of the time frame that had happened, spoken. But a lot of times where we see heaven and earth are connected and come together in Scripture is there are some links there to our priestly identity, okay? So we are a church in heaven that we need to bring to earth. And, okay, then it says, the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Okay, so let me get my Hebrew book here. The judge of all is to the judge who is God of all. As likely intended both ways, God is universal judge, and every person will answer to him and him alone. This is a positive blessing for the faithful, which is our reward. Right? It's kind of like a ceremony where we receive our reward, kind of like a ceremony when you graduate from college, right? You know you're going to be commemorated, okay? but a critical warning for the week. They will indeed stand before him, and they had better remember the awesome, terrifying God of Sinai in verses 8 through 21. This becomes the basis of our trust and confidence in our leaders, as described, of making good decisions, for they will give an account. This is literally in this book. I'm not making this up. Or did I go looking for it? Again, Zion. Okay, possible. Okay, that was verse 87. And then here, this is what I want to read in verse 25. And we're going to end here. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The Lord for that. Okay, so then there he says, listen to him who speaks, which denotes an active rejection of both God and his revealed truth. Okay, so we need to listen to, because when we see repeatedly, especially in the Old Testament, those who suffered consequences or God was not happy with, what they did is they rejected his voice or they rebelled against it, those that had brought his voice, right? Those rebelled against Moses or, you know, those who brought the voice of the Lord. Those who rebelled against it or rejected his voice, even the one who was on the donkey, you know, there were things there that he was rejecting the voice of God, okay? And so so we need to make sure him who speaks that we're not actively rejecting him when he reveals truth to us. And again, Zion, is more critical to hear and respond to that voice because right here he was spoken by both Sinai and Zion, but it is more critical to hear and respond to the voice because of Zion, because of the New Testament, because of Jesus, you know, because of the things that we spoke earlier in, I don't know if I can find it real quick, but the things where we will not trample on the Son of God, okay, we will not treat as unholy the blood of the covenant that sanctified them or insult the Spirit of grace, okay? It's very important that we listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, which you all are doing that today and every day, I'm sure. So God bless you, and thank you for listening and joining us. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and pray for you and see how you are all doing. So thank you. Okay, 205-531. Good evening. Is this Julia May?
Yes,
it is. Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing better. I've been under the weather for about a week.
Oh, just like a cold or?
He thinks it's bronchitis because I had x-ray today and I don't have, you know, pneumonia or nothing, but I had severe migraine pains in the head. I got, and my head was throbbing so bad, and I couldn't even move my head, and I got sharp pains. I've been awful. So I got a Z-Pak and an antibody. So I had a COVID test yesterday, so I didn't have COVID. But I think, you know, everybody having trouble with their sinus draining and everything. So I think that's
Yes, that sounds familiar. And even in this neck of the woods, it sounds very similar to some stuff that's happening here. Yeah, because I had the test taken because I have this very strange headache, which I normally don't, and very fatigued and a headache that I normally do not have. And I just thought, well, maybe it was everything I did to get ready for Christmas and then thereafter. you know, packing up, and then I had out of town guests, you know, I just thought, well, maybe I'm just, you know, I did more than I realized, you know, and, but then I was like, oh no, I'm not shaking this. So, anyway, okay. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better. It sounds like I'm getting a handle on it.
Yeah. At least I'm trying.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I hear you. I hear you. I know this weather is, turbulent as well. Speaking of turbulent. Okay, let's pray for you. So thank you for joining us. Good to hear your voice. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for Julia May, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for just every good, perfect, and pleasing gift that you have for her, God, and even your good, pleasing, and perfect will, Lord, that she will step into, Father God. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. You know, so I'm seeing, like, those boxes, they're like, you know, like you unwrap one box, but then inside that box is another box and then another box, you know. So one thing leads to another for his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we begin stepping in that and moving in that and moving in that direction, you know, like cultivating that. The will of God and what we know and asking him, it opens things up to the next. And so, and they're all like nestled in one thing, you know, and a lot of it is found in his word and in his spirit, because when we know to do, you know, when we know his word and what he's asking, then to be obedient to that and willing to say yes to that, then, like, we know that's his will, right? Mm-hmm. And even him revealing things like when he says he loves things in his word. Well, we want to love what he loves, right? Because we love him. And when he loves the gates of Zion, right? So he's going to be fierce, and he's going to protect that, and he's going to preserve that. And as well as his church, right? Because the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and which is correlating in Matthew. But the so in his word, where he says, like, give, and I'm just using an example, give those who are thirsty, you know, give them something to drink. And when we do that, we know that we are obeying his will. That's his good will, right? So we start to step into, and I know that you do this, but we start to step into the will of God according to the word. And we do that out of response because we love him. And then he begins to show us more, like he begins to develop that, and we hear his spirit and we move in his spirit, and then we're ministering and we're seeing the gifts that he's given us and how he's, you know, maybe anointed us and things that come, you know, because sometimes things will come, like, for lack of a better word, and I've said this before, like, they'll come easy, but it'll actually be the grace of God. That's the anointing of God that's walking alongside of you, because he's saying, like, this is the way to walk in, right? This is the way to go. And he wants us to delight in it and to shine his light, right? Where it says, let your light so shine that your Father would be glorified in heaven. And ultimately, the perfect will of God is that he would be glorified in heaven. We're on earth, okay, he shows us to take on his humanity, not apart from him. So we don't do anything apart from him. I don't want to even come here on PGN or dial in myself apart from the Holy Spirit, okay? I don't want to show up here. You know, I have nothing to give apart from the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm broken and beautiful, and it's the Holy Spirit that makes the part beautiful and attractive and fills people, satisfies people, fills people, you know, and I'm dependent, I'm reliant, I'm dependent upon it. But when we come into a place of faith where we are, you know, and I say this, like, a portal of faith, there's a portal of his presence and his goodness that's here. When our faith is sincere and it's genuine and we're seeking him, and these are all examples, Julia May, that I'm giving you to help you hunger and thirst after his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So he's pleasing, right? So you feel his good pleasure on that because his grace is on it, his anointing's on it. You know, he's saying, walk this way. This is the way to go in, you know? And one thing, an example, is a prophetic parable, because I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, well, sometimes I have like a story to give as I'm not a story, but like an example or an illustration. But it's actually a prophetic parable. The Lord was showing me that when I'm prophesying over someone and there's something like that, it's prophetic parable, and that is that I noticed when I would go into classes or into church or whatever, that the Lord would, or if I'd prophesy over somebody, pray for somebody, actually I'd pray over someone, it would end up being prophetic is what it was. That was the nature of it. And so it's an altar prayer ministry team. So I'd just pray for people and I'd close my eyes and the Lord would just, and I would just go there, okay? And sometimes people would say to me that they were leaders. Okay, and a prophetic word would come forth that they were leaders. Or if I was in a classroom, a word would come forth for that leader, and I would say, like, after class, can I say this? Or if the class is open to pray for them, then I would do that. And I noticed that with leaders, anyone that is a leader, because sometimes they'll ask if a prophetic word comes really easy for me, it just spills forth, I'll ask them, are you a leader? Or, you know, has God called you to lead and to be a leader? Because I only because I've noticed that that's where his good pleasure is as I begin to walk it out in his goodness and faithfulness to his word, right? And to show up and to cultivate that, that I noticed that his pleasure, his good pleasure was on that for the will, for his will for my life. So that's an example. That's a prophetic parable, if you will. Okay, you'll just begin to notice things like, hey, this seems to be like they just, like you just seem to notice the track record, if you will, or the similarities of like, hey, this is happening, this is what's being done, and there's something to it. And then to press in more for that is good. That's good and pleasing to the Lord because he's going to lead you to the next thing when you're ready. You know, he's going to unpack that. He's going to allow you to lift the lid off of that and to take a hold of it. And he does develop things within us and, again, stretch us and challenge us at different times in and of ourselves. But if we can learn to trust him as we can, he certainly is trustworthy and that he sees things, especially with our character and, you know, things that he's working out that, like, wrong beliefs, wrong motives, the places where maybe we have self-sufficiency or self, I don't know, even know, it could be self-centeredness, it could be, you know, what is that, like where we protect ourselves or we draw back mm-hmm. in places, you know, or sometimes we're, you know, some people are too arrogant because they're making up for the lack of what they, inadequacy, you know, and all of those places mm-hmm. that we need to, the veil gets thinner and thinner before Christ, but we can trust him because he sees perfectly the perception from heaven. He knows he created us and he knows us and he sees perfectly. And you know, where we're not out of line, we're just missing it. Like where our beliefs are because of whatever reason and for whatever, you know, whatever reason that we're doing that, you know, and the Lord will walk with us and will certainly fill us and, you know, if we just allow ourselves to be pliable and yielding to that and not to reject his voice, even in those times, and not to rebel, certainly. But really the safest place for, in my opinion, for correction is when the Holy Spirit, I'd rather have before anyone else, I'd rather have the Holy Spirit correct me because I know that he's seeing it correctly and I already know that he loves me. He has this good intention and nature for me. He completely accepts me. He's completely called me. He covers me. And he's the one who can heal me. And he's the one that can actually draw out of me in words more so than I could even explain myself, you know. And all of that is this unpackaging and unveiling of what comes with his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But it certainly does start with his word. And we know his word, you know, if it says, even his word, you know, I had a friend who used to say, she kept hearing this, the Lord say this to her all the time. If you know to do good in the house of the Lord, something like, if you know to do good, do not hold back or something. I know one of those verses, Okay. And so, but anytime she would minister, it'd be out of that verse. And it was the Lord was teaching her something, and he was calling her to, you know, to be obedient to that word, and to, and that was even stretching for her at times, you know, because, right, it's not because of someone who deserves it or not deserves it. It's just out of the obedience of your heart to be kind, you know, and grateful, but to, and following him in that. So I know that's a lot, but usually that does fall on the first caller. Praise God for that. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have packaged and all that you have presented and prepared for Julia May, God. That includes your good, pleasing, and perfect will for her, Father. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for you just fulfilling your word for her, Father, and fulfilling those things, Lord, that she would indeed reach each one of those gifts, each one of the preparations, Father God, and that she, this fruitfulness and the good works that you have prepared for her in advance, that she would walk in them in Jesus' name. So let me just, let me see if I can, okay. Let me see if I can just pull up the whole verse because I want to see what the what it says right before that. And I don't remember what that is. Oh, so this was interesting. Okay. Okay, so I just kind of put in there perfect will, and 13 verses came up. So it looks like it's in, the one that I was thinking is in Romans 12:2, which I didn't realize. Says, again, this is New King James Version, so other versions might be a little different when I say good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that's really good, because that's good. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, I'm not going to expound on it, but that's good. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for it, God, and just unpacking it, that she can unpack it in Jesus' name. And I actually do see you unpacking it, like lifting the lid, and you're actually on your knees, which I think is a representation of your humbleness and your servanthood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your, you know, honoring unto him, you know. Yeah. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's cool. Very cool.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, everybody's doing fine about the same, but just still praying for a lot of, you know, this COVID going around. People still are sick. I had a friend and her niece and grandnieces and nephew they end up with the COVID, so we're praying for people with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
yeah.
The children didn't get that has the COVID now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had our, you know, they're selling now those over-the-counter tests that you can do at home. And our daughter was looking for one. We came home from church on Sunday. Literally, we stopped at 6 places. They are all out of it. And they went today to a church in the area is doing tests, and you can make an appointment, and then people can show up that need it. She said there were literally 30 people. There were probably 30 people waiting in the line for the test. And I did my test right before the new year because actually I was stopping there to get medicine for my daughter and look for an over-counter test there for their family. But when I was talking to the pharmacist and I wasn't feeling well, I said, I didn't think it was COVID, but when I was talking to someone else, I was like, dang, all those symptoms would line up,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I just did a rapid test. I just asked John, can I just do this and be done with it? And then, you know, we can move on with life. And I want to be responsible, you know, to the public too and stuff. So anyway, so yeah, let's pray because it's just bizarre how it's so rampant. But Father, we, Lord, we come to your kingdom, God. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above every name. And it is above COVID and any variation, God. We thank you, Lord, that you stand as light of the world. And you bring the light of life to man, God, that in John 8:12, God. And we thank you, Father God, that no darkness, no variations, the shadows of darkness, God, or shadows of the enemy, God, or variations, the shadows of the enemy, God, will remain in your people, will remain in this land, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And just take authority over that, God. We just anoint your people. God, I ask that your anointing would come on your people for healing. Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, to sinuses, Lord, and Julie May, God, that you would heal them, that you would expedite healing unto their bodies, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for your anointing oil, your anointed presence, God, in your marvelous light, Lord, that brings forth healing and corrects things, Lord, and dispels and dispenses things, Father. We thank for your blood, Lord, that reconciles all things, unto you, whether on earth or in heaven. That's what your word says, God. So now reconcile these things, Lord, within these loved ones that we know as friends and communities and nation, God. Reconcile them unto you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the power of your cross and the power of your blood, Lord, we lift up your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us and letting me pray for you. God bless you, Julia May.
God bless you. Continue blessing you and this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye. Okay. All right. Now, our next caller is 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
I am blessed. I am very blessed.
Well, very good. Thank you for joining us this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jennifer, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hold on, let me just do something. Thank you, Lord, for your covenant with her, God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Yeah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant, Father God, with her, Lord. Your covenant that is covering her, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are fierce. I mean, the Lord is fierce over his covenant and over his promises and over those who belong to him. He knows that. And when we have faith in our hearts, and we have faith in our heart, and we respond in any way in faith to the Lord, you know, that preservation, he preserves that, and he will go after that. Like, he guides it and guards it and will go after that in Jesus' name. And so I didn't even really know what was in Psalm 28, but, you know, I do believe that he did have me pull up Psalm 28. For you, which you can read all of it in those nine verses, but at the end it says, the Lord is their strength, and he is their saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Yeah, so, and just before that, Psalm 6 and 7, sometimes I go backwards here, but blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the strengthening her with your grace, God, we thank you, God, for the refuge of your anointing, God, just the refuge that she can find, Lord, by your anointing and abiding, even under your wings, Lord. I thank you, God, that you do, your intent is to bless her with the inheritance that you've prepared for her as your child, Lord, as your daughter, Lord. And it says the shepherd, he shepherds them also and bear them up forever. So the shepherd in, go back to you guys, the shepherd in Ezekiel, I believe it's 34:4, it says the shepherd is concerned with the weak things of the sheep, okay? And first and foremost, what that is implying is spiritually, right? Because he's made provision for us spiritually. He's seen them. You know, he sees the large crowds and has compassion on them. He's moved spiritually, like he sees in each dimension, body, soul, and spirit. So anything that's weak there, right? And even his word that says, in our weakness, there his power is made, you know, it's sufficient, you know, and his power is there, even in our weakness. And he's always there. He's always there. He's always looking. He's always making supply for it. And his sufficiency by his grace, we are sufficient in it. And so I'm just learning to trust and rely and depend on him and get our focus, right? Because we have beliefs about certain things, right, that are maybe off or that are not his perspective totally. And so he strengthens us in that. And he is a good shepherd. You know, he is a good shepherd. I mean, his eye is on you. He knows where your placement is. He knows where your part is with the flock, you know, and you're not out of his sight. And he knows how to find you. He knows how to go after you. And he's calling you in, bringing you in, and his rod and his staff are guiding you. And you do belong to him. And how is that worded at the end? He will bear them up forever. Yeah. So he will carry you when needed, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So
thank you, Lord.
Well, we thank you, Lord, for your shield, God, and your covenant, God, that it is all based on your covenant that you have made with your blood, God, from even Ancient of Days. Lord, Ancient of Days, Father God, you've called us and you prepared us even before we knew we needed a Savior or that we would be remorseful with our sin and falling short, God, that you were already there preparing, God, a way out for us, Lord, and reaching for us, God, with your mighty right hand, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that we would trust you with our todays, with our tomorrows, Lord. In every place, Lord, that needs to be rescued by you, God, and brought into your presence and into your fullness of your covenant, Father, and covering. Lord, we thank you for the shepherd's eye that is always upon us, Lord, and that we are in your field, Lord. And I thank you, Father, just for strengthening her by your grace and your mighty right hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
So, hey, good. Well, do you have any specific prayer requests?
For my children who are traveling pretty far tonight in the dark and just extra protection. I really felt the Lord just really placing that on my heart tonight, and I've prayed and prayed, but I thought that, you know, I'd get extra covering and in agreement for their protection.
Sure, absolutely. Father, Lord, we lift up Jennifer's children to you, God, who are traveling, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just we come into agreement, Lord, with their protection, that they would arrive safely and soundly, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your angels, that you would guide them and guard them, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you just surround that vehicle from the top to the back, Lord, and all its sides, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for the wisdom that you would give them, Lord, to where to stop or refill, whatever this, wherever, Lord, in the transit that they are, God, that you would give them peace about where to stop when needed, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray for the roads, Lord, and the clearance, Father God, and just your discernment and your protection, God. We ask for your protection upon that, Father, upon their travels, Lord, and your angels, Lord, to surround them. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, just for your angels, Lord, who are on assignment and travel, Lord, and that they know even how to unlock things, Lord. They know how to, you know, one time the Lord showed me something with angels where they know, like, you know how sometimes the Lord speaks to me in numbers and others as well, but that the angels sometimes, the Lord shows them where he speaks to them in numbers where, like, the longitude and the latitude, because it kind of confuses the enemy. So, you know, or instead of saying, like, hey, I'm going to Wisconsin, Lake Genevieve or whatever that lake is up, you know, Wisconsin. Okay, so instead of declaring it and making it known, it's more like a code, you know, and so then here's these numbers, the longitude and the latitude, and the angels know, and then they go, you know. So I'm seeing them, like, kind of traveling, you know, it's like this traveling assignment over them, and also the license plate number, you know, like the Lord can say, it's bizarre when I heard it from the Lord, but even the numbers that, like the license plate number, and like that's your assignment, like, and give it to the angel, and then there they go, like, you know, and so, Father, we just thank you for covering them and watching over them, God, that they are participants of the inheritance as well, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for their safe arrival. We just declare that, and we thank you, angels, for your obedience and for your staying true to the command of the Lord over her children, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Okay. Have a good night.
You, too.
Thank you. Okay. This is caller 321. 321 230.
Hi. Good evening. This is Anthony. Calling from Florida.
Okay. Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Okay, pretty good.
Today?
Yeah, well, thank you for calling. I haven't heard your voice in a while, so it's good to hear from you and to pray for you, lift you up to the Lord. So thank you.
Thank you.
For joining us. Yeah. Well, Father, I just thank you for Aunt Elise, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in her midst. And in the work of her, do you happen to work in healthcare? I don't know if you do or not, but do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I do. Are you a nurse or no?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay, yeah. So, Father, yeah, that's what I was saying. Work in the midst of you and work through you. There's something even through healthcare. That's what made me stop there. Is something with healthcare, and so even in your literal work, the Lord is doing something there. And so I thank you, Father God, Lord, for using her in the workplace, Lord, of what you're doing in the midst of her and through her as you work literally through her while she's working, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, just for your process of life, Lord. Yeah, so I wouldn't, so here's my thing is that I want to say is, I mean, that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say is that, like, not to take it lightly when you have patients who need prayer. And even as whatever However, even if you touch their shoulder, touch their pillow, whatever point of contact that there is, maybe you're carrying clean sheets, I don't know, all of your rolls, or maybe you just work in ER, I don't know, you know, the instruments or whatever. Whatever it is where there's a point of contact for that patient and you know that there is a, this could be a changing point for them, you know, or, you know, not to whisper a prayer and to ask the Lord just to release his work through you that he's doing in the workplace, you know, and or however, whatever the unction of the prayer would be for, you know, restoring and health and however that burden is laid upon your heart or even just lightly impressed. And even if it's just whispered, you know, because now, you know, you guys wear masks, I know, and while people can hear us, but it used to be, the other day I was saying to myself, I kind of like wearing a mask at the grocery store because it's like, sometimes I talk to myself like, do I really want this? And I know, like, well, nobody sees me really talking to myself now when I have a mask on, you know. But you can whisper things, like literally, so it's being released literally from your mouth, right? Because the Lord sustains things by the power of his word. That's how the Lord sustains things, by the power of his word. Even the agreement, even what's coming forth here, he's sustaining it by the power of his word. That's why out of the mouth are two or three witnesses. Things are coming forth and are being unveiled in different various ways, okay? And, right, he spoke in various ways and various measures, right? Because he's going to reach the church at large, okay? That's a side note. But he's going to reach the church at large, not just the, you know, evangelical church or the charismatic church or the, right? He's doing something with the invisible church. All of us who are registered in heaven, you know, on earth, he's going to do it on earth as it is in heaven. And so when you are working, so he's doing a work there and it's kind of like a launching. I don't know if you've done this before or if he's actually launching you into doing this, but I do see it. It's like significant, the patient or the person, it's your prayers are going to be significant for that. You know, they're going to sustain something, sustain the will of God for their life. Even if you're praying salvation, I mean, I don't know, however the unction is, or even asking the Lord, you know, or just feeling like a heaviness. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to pray? Wherever your connection point is, you know, whether it's in handing the instruments, handing the gloves to the doctor, whatever it is, I do feel like it's almost be like a launching thing where you start to see your eyes are open to where you can be effective in the workplace in this way. And again, let me just say that, you know, because I feel the power of God wanting me to reiterate that he sustains things by the power of his word. He sustains that. He sustains things by the power of his word. His covenant is made by the power of his word, right? We have the Bible. It's the power of his word is sustaining. He's sustaining all things. You know, the stars in the sky are there in the canopy because he filled them at his word, right? He created it. This is his pattern that he does. He creates it, and then he fills it. He creates it, and then he fills it. So, and that can be a pattern of prayer as well, even in the, hey, Lord, you created this kneecap. Now you sustain the health of it and its full range of mobility. You know, now you fill it, okay, whatever he's created. And then he fills it, you know. So anyway, so praise God for that. And I thank you, Lord, just for illuminating to her mind, Lord, where the light of life is leading her in the workplace, God, in her and through her, Father. We thank you, God, for just a sustainable life, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that even, systems are functioning. You know where like teachers have, or what is it called? Like, not credit unions, but where they have things like over the work, where like their organizations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if there's, nurses probably have organizations that are, anyways,
I
actually
work at a school, as a schoolman.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, so that's so funny because I was like, why is this teacher thing coming into it? So I forget what it's called. It's like they pay dues to it and stuff too. I can't think what it's called.
Sounded like a union?
Yes, okay, I guess like a union. Yeah, like a type of union. Okay, whatever that system is, that's not going to cap you. Like, you're not going to be under the umbrella of that. Not that you're going to be rebellious or revolting or anything like that. You're just going to be walking in the will of God, but this, I guess I want to say you'll just be in union with the Holy Spirit more so than the union of the workplace or what's dictated under those circumstances or under that rulership. You will be to the Lord's instead. You will be up under the Lord. And again, this is not rebellious. This is not like a haughty or superior thing. It is just surely and humbly walking in obedience to union with the Holy Spirit. So, so it's interesting. You're a nurse. So thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for your protection over her, God. I thank you that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And any tongue that shall rise in judgment, you shall condemn, Father. I thank you for her heritage, God, and her blessing in you. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Even in spite of what the county says, I guess it's what are things are dictated and said over the school, over the rules, over the, like, that doesn't become a place that renews your mind, that Christ in you, the light of life, is speaking and leading you, and you're having union with that. And you can be effective, right? You can be effective because the Holy Spirit is, he's like liquid love, right? He can seep through doorways and cracks and things that are shut. He will seep through that, you know? And So, and I know that you have a lot probably that you're dealing with, I'm guessing, I do have a sister-in-law who's a teacher, and my sister's a preschool teacher, but one in the high school. And, there's just a lot of different things with the virus and the expectation of how to, So there you go. But some of the places I do sense are actually critical. It's critical that you're there and that he uses you and that you release whatever that is in that point of contact, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I worked at a home care agency a couple months back, and today, I stopped picking up shifts, and earlier today, I reached out to try to pick up shifts, and they're supposed to contact me tomorrow. So I'm sure I should probably apply everything you said to there as well. I know while I was there, the reason that I stopped picking up shifts because I didn't like the way that they did certain things.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what made me today call to see about, you know, picking up more stuff.
That would be good. Yeah, so there's something there, so praise God. So I'm excited about how the Lord, like, uses his people and that are filled with, and then they just kind of show up when you least expect it and stuff. It's like one time we had a, I've shared this here before, we had a, we were audited one time by the tax people. Anyway, when the tax guy came out, we had everything in order. I mean, I had a lot of peace. And then my husband, everything he asked to find, he just found it. Like, it wasn't frustrating. It wasn't like anxious or frustrated. It's this weird piece about it. You know, I just felt like it's going to give them everything that they asked for, even though I forget what the gaps of years that it was that they were even asking, you know. But because at first I thought, what? I remember there was a gap because I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to find that or not, you know? And then the Lord just gave me this peace. And it ended up being that this guy was a Christian. So anyway, it's just interesting how we just walk out our lives in the workplace as Christians. I always find that one most interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Or intriguing, I should say. Yeah, is there anything?
Nothing specifically. I don't know right now. It's so crazy, too, because of nursing. I worked at a place for probably like 10 years, I want to say, and then I just quit because I had started my own business, and I thought that I'd never, like, be doing nursing again. And then once I relocated and I started looking for a job, I applied at a school, and now I'm a school nurse. And then I worked for that agency for a little while, and now I'm trying to get back to working for that agency. Never planned on going back to nursing. That was not in my plan, but I guess it was in God's plan. But, it's kind of, I don't know, it's something how you shared that tonight with me. So, yeah, I'm gonna take it all and apply what you said.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's just... Yeah, I could see how that would be encouraging from the Lord when you didn't plan on doing that. And then, yeah, that's cool.
Nothing specific. I don't know. Maybe nothing specific I probably need to pray about. I would probably say, like, right now it seems like everything has been a little crazy, like finances, work, everything. So I don't know if you can just pray over that. Appreciate it.
Sure. Lord, we thank you again for Aunt Elise, Father God, and we thank you for joining her, God. It's just amazing, Lord, that it's just a simple Tuesday night, God. I'm just a simple person, Lord. But we all have the availability, Lord, to come here, God, to this place, Lord, and literally, God, is the portal of your presence, Lord, and of prayer. And we ask, Lord, and we stand in the gap for her, Father God, and we know, Lord, where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them, Father. So, Lord, we come with prayers and supplications and thanksgiving, God, just humble pleas, God, for her finances, for her work, Lord, and for all that she has need of, Father God. We ask, Lord, by your outstretched hand, Lord, we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, God. And we thank you, Lord, for leading her and guiding her, God, giving her wisdom in every provision, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for opening doors for her and opportunities for her, God. In Jesus' name, God. And I thank you, Lord, just for just a sweeping and a joy to even come. So I'm seeing like doors even blow open because it's a sweeping and the wind of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, you know. And I'm seeing like a door just fly open, you know. And but it is the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Father God, when those doors are open, she will walk through them, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that you lead us in peace. God, I thank you that she will have this peace in her inward being, God, even when she's still trying to work things out, Lord, or you know, whatever, Lord, even doubts or confusion or whatever. But inwardly, God, she would have peace to go through that door, Father. So we thank you, Lord, just for your assurance and your covering and your heart for her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you. Pleasure to pray with you.
God bless you too.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much. Okay, I just thought I had one more caller, but I don't. I have like four more, so I didn't realize. Sorry. Okay, we are going to do this. 972-365. 972-365. Good evening.
Hello, Sister Deborah. This is Sister Rhonda from Texas.
Hey, Miss Rhonda, how are you?
I'm doing good. I don't need prayer. I have a friend that texted me earlier. She's actually on the line. She just lost a brother to a heart attack, I believe, heart failure.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was only 42. And she said that a few years ago she lost another brother to heart disease also. And then she lost a sister. All of them was in their 40s a few years ago also to a blood clot. So she said she's been overwhelmed with fear and things like that. And she said she also had a dream, you know, before the brother passed away, that, you know, it was her. So I was just encouraging her and telling her, I think 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, where you take those thoughts captive and don't allow them to come against you. But I told her I would get on and ask for prayer. I don't know if she'll be able to get on because I think she's still kind of emotionally upset since her brother just passed. But her name is Kershan.
Okay, spell that for me.
K-E-R-S-H-A-N.
Kershan, right?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
What's her number? Do you know what's the first three parts of her?
I believe it's 903, and let me look on here. I know the first three of it is 903. Let me look and see. 903-931.
Oh, okay. She is here. Do you want me to open her line with you on here, too?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You can.
Okay. Okay. Let me go ahead and do that. I'm pretty sure I can open up as many lines as I want. Hey there. Good evening, Kershan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? You're holding up. I hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, Rhonda is such a nice person. It's good that you have her on your side of the court, and that she can help carry your burden for you in day-to-day life. And she is a blessing to PGN, and I'm sure she's a blessing to you as well.
Yes, ma'am. She's an amazing friend.
Yeah, she's an amazing person. Okay, let's pray for you, and I'm sorry to hear of the loss of your brother and your other siblings and family members. I'm very sorry for that. And I know my husband and I lost my mom and his mom within, 11 months apart. And then his father was like a year and a half ahead of that. But I also have a friend. I also have a friend. He was telling me at Christmas, we've known him for years, that his brother is going to be 66. This year, but they lost their dad at 66. And so, and then he's going to be 65. He'll be 66, I don't know, just maybe a few months after him or something. I don't know how that works. Maybe a year, maybe it's a year or eight. I don't know. I guess could be more than 9 months, but however that goes. And so I was kind of telling him, like he said it, he said it nonchalantly, but also with an implication, and which I didn't think there was wisdom in that. Like, I didn't think there was wisdom in the expectation or how he was implying it. And so I said, well, maybe you should pray over that and break that, you know. And so he did, but we were in a group, so maybe this is more like I should have a private conversation with him and, you know, kind of pray with him. But this is what I would say is, yes, the enemy will try to grip us. Certainly, so yes, taking our thoughts captive is important, and even sharing them, because it is helpful to expose them when someone else can say, "Oh yeah, that is the enemy," and that is, you know, something, you know, you don't, because when the enemy likes to keep things hidden and private and isolate, I guess I should say, kind of like a petri tray, you know, like a little, so it breeds, so it'll breed and become more destructive, you know. And and that's why when we see sometimes when people, unfortunately, like take their own lives, it's because it's breeding. There's something hidden there that they're not sharing, and it's just breeding, and growing. So it is good to share and to bring all of that into the light, because the Lord can heal that. And some of my counsel background that I had is they would say, when we would do groups, is they would say the person who risks the most heals the most. So we know that it took a big risk for you to come on here and to even have this shared and even ask for prayer. So we just acknowledge that, and we do pray and release the Lord's healing. His word comes forth in healing as well. And let me just grab something over here, this paper, so I can... Okay. So, oh, it's not on there, but it is Psalm, let me see, it's Psalm 107. I just want to pray that, and then I will pray for you. And, you know, Samuel, let me just read a couple of verses as I pray, too. It says in 2 Samuel 22:7, it says, and Samuel saying this, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. So even the leaders and those in the Old Testament had very distressing things that they came before the Lord, and the Lord did heal them, excuse me, hear them and heal them. So the Lord can break chains and turn darkness into light, and only he can bring us through the most difficult of days and save us from all of our distress. So the Lord is a healer, and he sends his word that gives us hope and freedom. So Psalm 107, 13, 14, and 19, 20, it says, and then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deep gloom and broke away their chains. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. So I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, the breaking of this off their inheritance, God. In Jesus' name, this is not her inheritance, God. In the name of Jesus, it is not her claim, God. She stakes her claim this evening, God, and we do it together in faith, God, and your word, Lord, that you send forth your healing word to her, Father. We thank you, Lord, just as I was speaking to the last caller, God, that your word sustains, the power of your word sustain is sustaining and life-giving, Lord. So we thank you for the power of your word to releasing it to your daughter, God, and covering her, God. We break all oppression, God, all expectation of gloom or distress or death in Jesus' name. We break that off of her now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you've given the light of life of man, God, as we were praying earlier, God, in John 8:12, Lord, that there's no darkness in you, Father God, but there's light, Lord, and the light of life is in you, Father God. We thank you for your marvelous light. Impart and instill it into her, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you would turn this around, God, that you would overturn this verdict, God, in Jesus' name, by your justice and by your light, Father, and by your sustaining word, God, in Jesus' name, your healing and freedom in this word, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you, this daughter here, Kershawn, Father God, will become like a shining star, as your word declares, Father, in Jesus' name. And Rhonda, maybe you can help her look up in the New Testament where it talks about being a shining star, shining like the stars, right? And where you have a placement and a display and a light for all to see and to all to know, right? In darkness, you will be a light, and you will be that shining star, God. So lift her up, Father, in Jesus' name, filling her with your marvelous light, your marvelous word, and your marvelous life, L-I-F-E, God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and I declare and decree unto her that you will overturn this, Lord, and that she will become like a shining star. And we thank you, Lord, that you fill her in her place in this universe, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the fulfillment of the destiny, Father God, that you have for her, God. We pray for her heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, physically, emotionally, mentally, God, and your word says in Proverbs,
yes, Lord,
to guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Scott, and even us reading in Psalm 87 in the last verse talking about all my springs. Let me find it. It says, all my springs are in you. So we thank you, Father God, for bringing that forth, Lord, bringing it forth that she taps into the springs of life, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she's tapping into the springs of life, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the prayers dig deep until they hit the well, until the water comes forth, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she will know where to go, God, just as the woman went to Jacob's well, God. She will know where to go to find the water, God. And I'm not saying that you're like that woman, but just the tapping into the life of the springs of life, God. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, preparing the ground, preparing the place for her to tap into the springs of life and springs of living water, Lord. We thank you now, God, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, fulfill your word, God, even if you send forth another word, God, to confirm, God, and to, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, yes, confirmation, Lord, of healing, God, healing word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she will grab a hold of every healing word that you send forth, that is sent forth, Father, that she would receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us and waiting so patiently. I'm glad that Rhonda was able to share your story with us and so that we could pray for you sooner. So thank you for that. And
waiting. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, God bless you. And as the Holy Spirit leads, we will continue, and I'm sure the other listeners as well continue to faithfully pray for you as the Lord brings you to their remembrance. And we are encouraged for the word of the Lord to go forth to bring forth his healing. So I'm thankful for that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Deborah, and thank you, Rhonda.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for sharing and reaching out, because sometimes a lot of us are going through things and we choose to shut ourselves in, and it's the enemy to where things start creeping in. So thank you for sharing that, because sometimes people don't want to share. And like she said, there's power in prayer, and a lot of us are going through a lot of things now, and it's some of it is because we are the chosen one, so you know, he said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So we have to keep going and keep knowing that Jesus has already came and died for everything that we're having to go through. So I love you and thank you for reaching out. And thank you, Sister Deborah. I appreciate you and PGN for being available, because people are really, really needing help in the times that we're living in. And I even touch in agreement with the prayer that you prayed with Julia May, because I was going to ask for prayer over this stuff that done got ramped back up with this COVID stuff, but you hit you hit the nail on the head. So thank you again for praying for that, because we need that.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us and bringing your friends in for really it is a privilege, and you're exactly right, and that's why we're here. So praise God for that. Well, thank you. And, Kershawn, there is a verse in Psalm 103, I think it's 3 and 4. Let me see if I can just pull that up real quick. That says, so this is David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So, but he does. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with love and heals all of our diseases. So amen to that. And I will, I will encourage you too, Kershawn, when you, if you've ever listened on Thursday night, or if you've ever taken communion by yourself, some people aren't sometimes comfortable taking communion by themselves. But if you listen on Thursday night when they take communion, when you take communion for the Lord in that way and just receive in that psalm, pull up Psalm 103, Lord, I receive all of your benefits. I'm receiving them now through his body and through his blood, and you heal all of my diseases, and you crown my life, you know, with loving kindness and tender mercies, and do away with destruction.
Yes, ma'am. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so praise God for that. Okay, I'm glad I remember, because I meant to pray that prayer, that verse. So praise God. Well, thank you again, and God bless you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you again.
Okay.
Good
Thank
night.
You, both of you. You too, Rhonda. Okay, good night. God bless you. Thanks, Rhonda. Okay, our next caller is 910-709. Good evening.
Hi, Deborah. This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you?
All right. And you?
Good. Pretty good. Okay. All right. Let me see where I'm at here. Okay. I think I got a handle on it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Sylvia, Father. I just thank you for her. I lift her up, God, and bring her to your altar, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, as your word says. You know, I like how his word says in Hebrews 4:16. This is so interesting to me. It says, bless us. Then with confidence, you know, draw near to the throne of God, that we would find mercy and grace in our time of need. But it's interesting how he says, let us then with confidence. And so it's almost as if they know we were going to go two by two, or, you know, praying more, you know, and one for another. So we thank you, Father God. Lord, we do come confidently to your throne, Lord, and bring Sylvia to you, God, but also, Lord, with grateful hearts, with all that you've chose to do, God. I'm so grateful, God. So grateful, Lord, and humbling, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Sylvia, Father God, and what you're doing in her life, Lord, and how you're bringing forth fruitfulness, God. And in this fruitfulness will come forth wine. And, you know, and so they, I don't know how it works in the, I was raised in the city. I don't know how, which grapes, you know, and how long it actually takes for the grapes to be fruitful on the vine, like for them to actually grow and to bear fruit on the vine. Like, I don't know how many seasons that takes, or what that is, and how that works, like how they determine which grapes are ready for the wine. But I've always just assumed it's some of them that have been aged. And I don't know if that means, again, how long that takes to bear fruit. Like, for instance, I do happen to know that a blueberry, but I guess in some red wines, they do use blueberries and blackberries and such. But a blueberry bush or plant or whatever, it takes 7 years for it to bear. So it has to be cared for quite some time before that particular fruit, you know, that particular bush or plant, or the whole thing is this preparation for it to bear fruit. And then when it does, they have to rotate these bushes with the blueberries, you know, like it's, so I don't know what the details are with grapes to make wine, but I see, I do see in this fruit that's coming forth in your life that wine, you know, and sometimes there's even, you know, maybe it's the pressing that's happening, but the wine is coming forth. And I thank you for that, Lord. It's being poured. And it's coming forth. So I see it, like it's not just the crushing, it's the wine is coming forth from the fruit. Like it quickly transitioned from seeing fruit to wine being poured from fruit, which I can't explain that more, but that's what it was. And so, Father, we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the partakers of those who will partake of her wine. God, the stage where you have wine coming forth from her, God. In Jesus' name, I don't know all the implications and the word for that, which makes me think there are some for me to even have that process of thinking in such a way, and maybe you know yourself, or maybe you have a verse. I'm going to actually just put wine in here and see. 241 times. Okay. Of course, there's cautions around it because of our flesh, but it's certainly spiritual implications as well. And I do know, and the and partly in the Jewish culture, the Hebrew culture, is where they had wine that was very joyous. Like there was something very celebratory about it. It also had to do with fellowship, like, because when they sat and they were, you know, banqueting together, they would have wine, and they would have, even when they told stories with children, and they did Passover and whatnot, like everyone got wine when they did part of that story. And part of it was representation symbolic for Jesus's blood, but and his spirit, the Holy Spirit that's coming forth as well. So I thank you, Father, Lord, I just thank you for that, God. I just thank you, Lord. And it's not only that you are prepared for it, it's actually happening. It's happening. It's currently happening. So I thank you, God, for current. I mean, visually what I'm seeing is that it is current. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Hey, it just made me think of something for a second when I said that word. So hold on 1 second. Okay. Okay, so the word current, C-U-R-R-E-N-T, is belonging to the present time, happening or being used or done now. Okay, which I'm sure you guys all knew that, but sometimes and then this word current, like if you, okay, C-U-R-R-A-N-T, because, yeah, the Mediterranean, okay.
So we were talking in reference to the wine.
Yeah.
Coming forth. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So even, yeah. So current and current, you know, like that are very similar because the berries in a current, C-U-R-R-A-N-T, and then like currently present time. Okay, even though they're used a little bit different in maybe like a raisin-like or jam type of thing. Okay, anyway, all right, so praise God, that's what I see. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Well, Sylvia, is there anything we can pray with you for?
Oh, no. I know it's almost time for you to go. When I heard you talking to Julia, she's my friend, childhood
friend.
Yes,
I remember that.
And
Oh,
yes,
I think you're childhood friend.
Yeah, we went to from kindergarten through high school together.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, I knew you guys were friends. Yes. I knew you were friends. I remembered that, but I had no idea that it was all the way back.
Kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But I heard you pray about her sinuses, so I took that prayer for myself as well, which, you know, sometimes I, same sinus issues.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I took that prayer for me.
Okay.
And I'll continue
good.
To pray for Kershawn. I heard that one.
Yeah,
I'll continue to pray for her. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, and bless you as well, Sylvia. We bless your sinuses to clear and to be healed and made whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for praying for her, too. I know you're a great intercessor. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
Have
welcome.
A good night.
Thank you. You, too. You do the same. Okay, we have caller here, 954-580. Hello, who am I speaking to?
Hello, this is Caroline from Jamaica.
Hi, Caroline.
Hello, this is Amber.
Yeah. Well, let me pray for you, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for Caroline, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, how you're watching over her, how you're protecting her. I see the Lord has you covered, like there's a rest, that you can find rest in him. He's actually covering you. You know, I almost like see it where you're in a hammock, and, you know, when you go in and you're just completely, you're almost, you know, covered in the hammock, you know, like it's just, oh, gosh, you know, it's very, you know, it's, some people have to get used to, like, trusting that this thing's going to hold them. Does it look like something that is going to be relaxing or be freeing, you know? And there's also a place where you feel maybe, I don't know if it's even vulnerable or exposed because you're resting outside in the elements. And usually the area part of it's a netting, so it's not like you're hidden, but in some ways you are, like you're completely covered. I see him just covering you and nestling you when you're finding rest in him. And although there could be other parallels, like I was saying, that are symbolic to this place that you're finding rest in, and not sure if this is the nature in which you should find rest. Like I said, okay to let go in this place and to trust and to let the Lord hold me and to find rest in this place, you know, and because the elements don't look like they're congruent to what I'm usually, where I usually find my rest, you know. And, but I do see the Lord covering you and protecting you. And again, just being in that little like cocoon of his rest, of his covering in that place. So I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, how you're teaching her, Lord, to find rest in these areas, God. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your covering and your protection and her rest, Lord. And let me just look that up real quick because I just get curious myself, really. So this one is Hebrews 4, for the word rest. So I'm just going to read this one because even though it's in there, the word rest is in the Bible, just quickly pulling it up in the New King James Version 546 times. But this one's Hebrews 4, and since today is the 4th, I just want to read this one sentence. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, but mixed with those who heard it. For we who have believed, do not, I don't know if I said, okay, but that first sentence there, since a promise remains of entering his rest, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So, I mean, I don't want the Lord to even say you haven't come short of his rest just because maybe your circumstances don't look like they're congruent for a place of rest, that his promise remains in that for your rest. So even if it is, you know, like, you know, if I was to climb into a hammock personally, I would be, like, it seems fun and it seems relaxing. I don't know if I would actually get rest in it because that's not what where I'm used to finding rest, and the circumstances and the surroundings and the like in a place where I could just completely let go and actually literally get rest, you know? And so, I mean, unless maybe I was with my husband, I don't know. But I think that's parallel, symbolic picture visually to maybe where he is taking it to places where his promise to give you rest is not maybe necessarily looking congruent to the circumstances or to, and you know what I'm saying, I think in that, like, is it okay even to let go in this place that I can find rest? And again, I'm seeing him like provide a little like cocoon place of rest for you, even in these circumstances and these conditions that maybe, again, and I have this the third time I said, so I don't think there's any other information, new information here that would, you know, that you would be naturally drawn to thinking, oh, this is a time or a place to rest. But I do see the Lord, if you, you know, making a provision for you to cocoon you into a place of rest. So we think in like in some of us like, yeah. So Lord, we just thank you for that, Father. I thank you for your promise for her, Lord, that you release those to her, God, your promise of rest, Lord, to her, Father God, and that she would find it and she would obtain it. Father, and because it's by your word and it's by your promise, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, and any other promises, Lord, that you've spoken to her, that she's believing confidently this year for her family, for her household, Lord, and what you've spoken in the past, Father God, let them come forth now. Let them come forth, Father God, by the desire of her heart and the desire of your word in Psalm 37, God, and your promises, Lord. Let the promises be released and to come forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Is there anything? It's always good to hear your voice. Yeah.
Same here. Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I have 2 minutes. I just looked at the clock because I guess that's... Okay, 847-239. Good evening. How am I speaking to you?
Hello, it's Stephanie from Illinois.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Okay, let me pray for you real quick because I have just 2 minutes. Father, I thank you for Stephanie, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We bring her to your grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm seeing like a liquid grace. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for that, Father. And I don't even know if it's a form of anointing by his grace. I'm not sure. But some type of liquid grace is what I wanted to say, liquid grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Stephanie's life, Lord, how you're making provision for her and supplying for her, God. So there must be something in, okay, if I had more time, I would try to find this, but there must be something more in that there is a word that's called the balm of Gilead, and that's actually the word of God. The balm actually becomes the word of God. And the balm of Gilead was for healing to the people in the Old Testament. And but the balm of Gilead was literally the word of God. So I'm seeing something in the grace of God, like this liquid grace of God that is for you. And I'm not exactly sure. There must be a reference to his grace and covering and somehow, and I don't know if it's part of, like he's giving you, you know, some people say they're graced with a gift, they're graced with the prophetic or something, they're graced, I've heard people say that, they're graced with that because like in that grace comes an anointing and that might be very well what that is that he's graced you with a certain gift and within the gift there's an anointing, there's a measure of anointing that's liquid. So there's some sort of liquid grace and I associate that to the anointing is what I want to speak. And it may very well have to do with some sort of gifting that you have. So I'm not exactly sure. I know there's verses that talk about the washing of the word, you know, the washing of the word. Okay, so that would be like reference to water and the washing of the word. So I'm not sure, unless that strikes something in you immediately when I say the liquid, I don't know that it's water. It seems more thicker than water. It is thicker than water, so it's not water. Okay, there we go. It's not water. It is some sort of liquid grace that has some substance to it, which, again, I want to say there's an anointing, but I don't know if there's a verse that talks about something with grace in reference to what I'm saying, because sometimes I learn that later, or if there's an association with you, Stephanie, for what I'm saying, like you identify with that, with what I'm saying, but that's what I'm seeing. And so God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I didn't have more. God bless you. Thank you for waiting and joining us. God bless you. Okay, God bless you, everyone, and Happy New Year again, really. I look forward to 2022 and more of you. I don't know if that rhymes, but okay, God bless.